This Sunday is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and Pastor Magruder is basing his sermon on the gospel reading for this Sunday, which is found in the book of John, chapter 9.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man he used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he's like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never, since the world began, has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him,
You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus, amen. There was a man blind from birth, and Jesus healed him. And that man was brought to faith in Jesus. Lord, I believe, he said. You know, the healing of the blind is one of those miracles that the Messiah was supposed to be doing. The Old Testament prophecies often declared that the blind receiving sight would be the surefire sign of the coming Messiah. The man had always been blind from birth. And in the religious world of the first century, that kind of disability was always believed to be a result of sin. Who sinned, the disciples wanted to know, this man or his parents? You see, religion for them was a matter of cause and effect. Bad things, like blindness, must happen to bad people. Sin now, pay later. There had to be a reason for this man's blindness. Someone must have sinned, right? Even we, enlightened, baptized children of God, think that way sometimes. When tragedy strikes, when disability is diagnosed, when chronic pain becomes intense, what's the inevitable question we have, either in our hearts or on our lips? What did I do to deserve this? This is one of the devil's most effective tools. If he can lead us to self-pity or to self-justification, the result is the same. We're stuck seeing ourselves instead of seeing the Savior. Our eyes are on us, not on Jesus. Jesus quickly demolishes all our ideas about a religion of you get what you deserve. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, Jesus said, but so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Go figure. This man's blindness would become a canvas on which the glory of Jesus would be painted. It turns out that our sickness, suffering, and pain, those are the places where the Savior displays some of his very best work, Jesus' power made perfect in our weakness. We ask why in those times. Faith asks, where? Where is Jesus as the darkness closes in? Where is my Savior in the midst of my suffering? That's the question to ask, and that's the question Jesus wants to answer. The blind man couldn't see Jesus, of course, but Jesus saw him. Jesus goes right to him, and before even speaking one word to him, Jesus spits on the ground and makes this messy batch of clay. And then Jesus applies this messy mud to the blind man's eyes. It makes no sense, humanly speaking. The man can't see, and now he's got mud in his eyes. Jesus makes him even blinder, in a sense. But remember, this is Jesus. The same God who created man from the earth, from the mud, in the beginning, now applies a little bit of mud to fix what's broken in this one man. Jesus then sends him off to wash with water in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed and came back seeing. But even while this one poor man was miraculously receiving the gift of sight and the blessing of vision, there was another group of men going blind, the Pharisees. They turned a blind eye to the plain evidence right in front of their faces. Dozens of people could testify to the truth that the man, who had always been blind as a bat, was now seeing everything with 20/20 clarity, and Jesus made that happen.
Jesus is filling all the spaces on the Messiah bingo card, but the Pharisees are willfully blind to all of it. What they saw was that Jesus had broken a rule. Jesus made mud on the Sabbath, a day when no work, not even mud making, was allowed. These men were so-called experts in the law of God. They were zealous for the law of God. It's true that the law of God, as summarized in the Ten Commandments, is good and holy. But the law cannot make you good and holy. And your obedience to it can't. You don't have the power. Only Jesus can do that. But those Pharisees couldn't see it. They refused to see the wonderful good news that Christ Jesus came into the world not to add more chapters to the rule book, but to save sinners. And that is where we find ourselves right now. By our birth, we are just like that man born blind. We have sinned. Our parents have sinned. Their parents have sinned. All the way back to our first parents, where the business of sin began. Sin is a hereditary condition, and its symptoms are revealed with every wicked thought, every hurtful word, and every shameful action that proceeds from our hearts, minds, and bodies. We are born spiritually blind. It takes Jesus, it takes His anointing to heal our blindness. Not an anointing with mud, but with blood, and with the water and the word of holy baptism. In that cleansing splash, Jesus gives forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. There, in that washing, the sacrificial death of God's own Son is applied to you, just like Jesus applied the mud to the blind man. You and I are just as much a miracle as the man healed in today's reading. The muddy fingerprints of Jesus are all over us. Jesus saw you and saved you, not because you did your part, not because you're such a great rule keeper. No, you were lost, and Jesus found you. You were blind, but now you see. It's an interesting fact that once the blind man went and washed off the mud and began to see, Jesus was nowhere to be found. He'd never laid a fully functioning eye on Jesus. Only after the man gets excommunicated from the synagogue does Jesus go and seek him out a second time. And Jesus asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Notice, he doesn't believe yet. Seeing, even seeing Jesus, is not the same thing as believing. He can see Jesus just fine with his newly healed eyes, but he doesn't yet believe. So Jesus speaks. "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." The word is what makes faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, not by seeing, not by miracles, but by hearing. It is the word of Christ that is the living word of God that creates and sustains faith. So it's then and only then that the man says to Jesus, "Lord, I believe." And then St. John records that the man worshiped Jesus. And what do you think that worship looked like? Did he stand there casually chatting? No, he knelt. He knelt down. The word for worship in the Gospels almost always means that bodies are moving, that knees are bending, reflecting the reality of heaven, where every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, and every eye behold, that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day we will see it all with new and resurrected eyes, and the sight will be glorious. But for now, we hear and we believe with the eyes of faith wide open. Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess the holy Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.